fiscal. I was elected as a new vice chair. We have a co-op meeting here, or the conservation is putting on a demonstration at the co-op here later this afternoon. I'd like to think I can get out there. And last but not least, I was asked to join the Ames Boys and Girls Club's board, and I accepted.
I'll say you didn't have enough to do, so that's...
Coming off the school board, somebody saw a little free time in my schedule.
Half the battle in this job is being able to say no, Marty. That's
I am getting to the tipping point, but Wayne had done such a job on the Ames Boys and Girls Club, they thought, well, we had luck in this pool, we're going to try to tap it again.
I'm following Wayne's footsteps on the MICA board. We had a meeting last night. And Wayne, they miss you so bad, they shake their head when I walk in the room. All right, so that's it for liaison assignments, committee meeting updates.
That was a 5-minute recess, if we could get started on the next phase.
How about a 3-minute recess?
Cool.
All right, 3-minute recess, and then we're going to go to the next phase, which is unprecedented territory.
I believe so.
All right, so, and everybody's just going to have to bear with me because this is not, fortunately, we're not practiced in this. And so the next item on the agenda is discussion and consideration of county outreach and special projects manager, a claim of insubordination by one member of the Board of Supervisors, Ms. Olson. And so, Loris, I'm going to have you start, but first, the employee in question absolutely has the right to request that we go into closed session. And no request has been made of me, but I want to make sure that you understand you have the right to go into closed session if you'd like.
Okay.
Okay. Loris.
Okay. So I'm going to start with a video. It is, I believe, 6 minutes long. You're going, oh no, but it sets up about what the board discussion was regarding this particular piece of equipment. Also lays out what I believe is the board's expectation and authorization for me to interact with the employee.
Good.
Can we get the video or the audio turned up?
No.
This is it? Okay, well then that's not going to be much good, is it?
Can you do the video? Sound on the machine itself?
Yes, I've got the sound on the machine all the way up.
Yeah, audio's not very good on that.
Okay. Let me try to unplug what's here and see if I can get the machine that way. Alright, there we go. This is turned up as far as my computer will go.
Try it.
Think I hear it yet? I got it. Is that it? Okay. All right. Since there's not a lot of action on here, okay.
Tell us what we were saying.
Okay. What is on the video talks about, first of all, is this January 10th. The first section would be January 10th. And it was a discussion of the communications plan.
Sure.
And it is the part where we were talking about adding software.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhat about bringing on an intern,
mm-hmm.
and getting a desktop.
Yep.
Okay, so that is basically what the, what this is. There's some comments as we talked about the state fair, the county fair booth. Some favorable comments to Marty about me bringing a fresh look, a fresh approach, and that pretty much did the first. Okay. As we go into the video, we go to February 28th. On February 28th.
Can we stop it? So I watched the video.
Okay.
Before we got here, so I'm dealing maybe with more information than some.
Sure.
But it seems to me, and so it feels like the gravamen of everything we're talking about here, Loris, is was Leanne insubordinate when she didn't put the right software, when the software did not get on the desktop?
Okay.
When the software did not get on the desktop, and then some other things, that she didn't respond, and I'm sure we'll get into all that, but let's talk specifically about the software that the board approved buying, and let's make sure that you and I have the same recollection,
correct.
Okay? So my recollection is that we approved buying the software, and we had a discussion about where that software would be housed, and, oh, there might be an intern coming on.
Correct.
And we left it that it would make sense that when we have an intern, that the software would end up in, on its own workstation in her office. But I did not take that, and I don't believe you took it at the time, as a directive to Leanne to put the software on a desktop immediately.
No, I did not. Why bother doing that when we had no intern?
Exactly. So I just want to make sure you and I have the same recollection.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay, so go on.
Okay, all right.
And that's what we would have seen from that video.
And that's what you would have seen, and with the affirmation in there also, is that I don't feel I got a wrong message from the board that I was to work with Leanne on this and I was the point person on this.
Well, okay, but did you ever get the impression that the board gave you authority to give direction that the board had not given to Leanne?
To give direction that the board had not given?
Right.
No, but I think, but for
so
me,
let's use the
board, I have several clips up there about the discussion about clearly we're discussing working with Leanne on it, being the point on it. So that to me was direction on this issue.
Well, so working with Leanne and being able to give her direction, I think, are two different things, first of all. And I think clearly the board asked you to work on all issues communication related. It's clearly a passion of yours,
correct.
And we asked you to dig in. I don't think there's ever a point, and if you've got it, I haven't seen it,
mm-hmm.
I don't think there's ever a point where this board said to you, Leanne Harder works for you, tell her what to do.
Oh, no, the board has never said that.
Correct.
If all these videos are specifically related to the issue of the software,
right.
And the plans for an intern. That's it, period on this. The other two that I'll be bringing up later are based upon, once again, what I understand our board expectations, not Loris Olson expectations.
Super. So let's deal with this one first. Yeah, let's deal with this one first, and then we'll move on to that one. So this is what I understand, and you tell me what I'm missing.
Mm-hmm.
At no time did you ever believe that the board told you that Leanne Harder worked for you. Period.
Correct. Period.
At no time did you think that the board gave a clear direction to Leanne that the software shall be on a desktop workstation by date certain.
There
was never a directive.
But there was clear that was an expectation that when we brought on an intern,
right.
That it would be, and I have a couple of communications, or I'm going to talk a little bit about some communications I had with like Elizabeth, et cetera, about that timetable.
So what I'm hearing, Morris, is that you've got multiple items of insubordination that you want to talk about?
So I have, when I talked to the county attorney, she said, bring forth the concerns, the other concerns also that all in the time period that of my concern. Okay? So that's.
You said there were some contextual things for your claim of insubordination.
My contextual.
Okay. So here's what we're dealing with right now, just to be clear, and Jesse, you helped me say, like I say, this is way outside my comfort zone trying to work through this. This discussion is about insubordination. And so what we need from you for this part of the discussion is anything related to insubordination and why you think Leanne Harder was insubordinate.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I think I have here. Okay. Okay. So this is my case, and I'm stating is supported by disobeying instructions necessary to carry out a task associated with the County Board of Supervisors' stated intent to enhance and improve county communications. So I think this offers you some more information about where the limit, where this is limited in scope.
Sure. Okay. So give me the detail.
I will.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, timeline of events prior, the videos, or, you know, that we are not going to watch.
Okay.
Okay. Then the video of the 28th when we actually bought the video, bought the software, approved discussion. Okay.
And that was purchased.
That was purchased.
Yep.
Correct. Okay. During a March meeting where Leanne and I were discussing communication issues, discussing what was going to happen, okay. In March, we discussed the process to get a summer intern, and the discussion included documentation we would need to provide to qualify for a journalism / mass communications intern, okay, and this happens all the time here, just for IT to know, okay. And my concern about getting info into ISU quickly, which is where we felt most likely that intern would come from. Discussion included a reminder about needing to get our office set up for an intern, including moving software to a desktop for sharing with future intern. But future intern, as in, remember, this is on the program here.
Did you put in a work order to have that?
Well, no, Leanne would put in a work order. Not at this time. We're discussing. Once again, I want to reiterate the clarity of where the plan was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But no, it was my understanding, Marty, that I was never that I would not be the person putting in that work order. It would be Leanne.
With no date attached to that expectation.
Not at this point. We don't have an intern.
Yep.
Mid to late April, Alyssa Wignall comes to me and informs me that since Leanne has not, quote, had time to look into getting an intern, and, quote, they talked, they being Alyssa and Leanne, and I believe Noelle, but I'm not sure of that, and they would expand Rachel Wilson's hours and share her time with Leanne. Rachel had been already doing some intern work and was going to expand her hours into the summer.
In fact, going full time.
I was not really privy to that part of it. I just knew that she was getting expanded hours, and some of those hours would be devoted toward communications.
Okay.
At that time, we did not discuss those. We did in May, but okay. So I just, here's verification of the meeting.
Sure.
I couldn't get rid of everybody else's schedule, so all red is everybody else blacked out or red out. Okay. So the pertinent item, agenda item from a meeting I had on May 16th with Leanne, and there actually were 24 additional items in addition to what's listed up there. It covered everything from the quadrant meetings, promoting those going forward. In fact, Marty, both you and Rick, I gave you copies of that and the communications meeting that we had about 10 days ago. You handed them back to me, but, you know, they were the list of topics to be covered during this meeting of May 16th. And
this is your meeting with Leanne?
My meeting with Leanne,
okay.
Correct. And when is Rachel set to work as an intern for you? Those are questions I've written down, and this is the part of the discussion where then, given that we had now an intern, I did direct Leanne to get the Adobe Creative Suite software moved to her desktop in her office for the two to use. Okay, so that is at the point where I said, you know, we've got an intern now, okay? And so it's time to go ahead and get the software on the desktop. Which meant we had to get a desktop and a desk.
Yeah, and so I think the language that you just used there, I tend to disagree. So I agree with the substance of what you're saying, but you said you directed her, and I don't believe you have the authority. I don't think you've ever had the authority. I don't think I have the authority to direct her. The board has the authority to direct her.
All right. We're back to the board had a clear expectation that when an intern came, that there was to be a desktop and a desk in her office. we all agree that that was the expectation when an intern came on, that in
I think this board very clearly talked about, well, what would make the most sense if we had multiple people working on something would be that it would have its own workstation to be able to work on. But I don't think that tied a date certain. I mean, that doesn't say that, you know, that shall be done right this minute. It says, Leanne, what makes the most sense to us is if you've got an intern working on these things, there's going to be a space for them to work on it.
Did we know at the time that we purchased the Adobe software that would be specific to a one computer, a laptop or desktop? Or
in fact, we discussed that, and actually the discussion came up when we talked about the software, is that Leanne has an iPad. She doesn't have a laptop. And her concern at that time, going back and watching the videos, and is that she has a Surface, Surface tablet, sorry, to be accurate, okay, and that she was concerned that she didn't have enough computing power on it, given the fact that she also has a very, very extensive GIS program, mapping out for her floodplain work, et cetera. So that was the discussion at the time. And so then we talked specifically about a desktop. And we discussed when the intern comes on that that would be the time.
You were comfortable with having the Adobe software put on her Surface.
Absolutely. Yes. Why, you know, that was
only
fine.
Had one licensure to use, or we
correct.
Were purchased that.
We only had one licensure to use. That was her only available computer.
So I just want to be clear.
Right.
So at this May 16th meeting,
correct.
You believe you directed Leanne to put the software on a standalone system. I'm disputing whether you have the authority to direct, but you believe you directed her at this meeting to put it on the...
to get a desk and a desktop. I mean, they all were going to kind of come together. And, you know, looking at this, yes, directed, considering that Rachel was already working for her as an intern, and that had been the plan, directed as in, we need to get that software over. Is that a direction?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, we're going to talk about that in a minute.
All right. Okay.
But I'm just trying to get to what you believe. I'm hearing you believe
I believe, as I said, we need to get that software over now. It's time.
On the 16th.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. And part of that also, not only do we have Rachel, the intern, but we also then, if you go way up in, or right down in the additional 24 items, I can get anybody who needs one a hard copy, is that we were talking about setting the publication date, for doing the sun. So, you know, we had... We had done the first one, and we were starting. I had put on about the next publication date. That's why. Okay. All right. Moving forward. Okay. On May 21 or 22, Leanne asked IT to install a second copy of the Creative Suites on a desktop in the Board of Supervisors/HR area, not move the licensed copy to a desktop in her office, which is contrary, is contrary to the Board of Supervisors' intentions and instructions. And then how I knew about this is Leanne forwarded IT's explanation of why they couldn't do it, and it was because there was only one license. Okay. All right. So, now, I apologize. This is a cut and paste of an email rather than a screenshot. I was having difficulty getting a screenshot off of my Windows. You'll see, you know, this other screenshot came off of the Mac.
And this is a week later, 6 days later, from when
correct.
You directed.
Correct, 5/22. And this is my response to Leanne. I assume the conversation with Tim is a result of you asking IT to, and it is, yes, it says each. It was get, thank you, you know. Spell, automatic spell check, to get Creative Suites downloaded for Rachel. Continuing on. As we discussed when we first talked about getting an intern and a desktop for an intern in your office, the plan was to ultimately put the design software on that desktop. Then both of you would use the same desktop for all design and editing. Installing it on your iPad was a temporary placement for at least this first year. And once again, That was under the assumption when we first talked if we were going to get an intern or not.
Right, and so you just hit on the paragraph that I've got highlighted here in going through all this. So my question is this. If you directed her, in your mind,
right.
If you directed her on the 16th,
right.
Then why are you saying on the 22nd that the plan was to ultimately put the design, installing it on your iPad was a temporary placement for this, at least this first year? Well, we haven't completed the first year yet.
Right.
If you had directed her, aren't you saying, I told you that this needed to be on there in that paragraph?
I agree. The at least this first year was back from the discussions we had in January, and we didn't know when we'd be bringing on an intern, et cetera. Okay. And I agree. I directed her on the 16th, going back up here when we discussed, when we first talked about getting an intern. The first discussions about the intern were actually with the board
right. In
both a little bit in January and then again February 28th.
Absolutely.
So that is the discussion. Then in March, you know, we actually talked about how we needed to get paperwork out. For journalism interns, I can tell you at the Greenlee School of Journalism especially, you just don't request a mass communications intern because for them to graduate from journalism or mass communications, they have to pay, and the internship is worth 3 hours to them. It's actually part of their graduation requirements. As a result, since they're paying and since it is a academic requirement, whoever wants an intern has to submit a package proving that they would, in fact, be able to offer this intern experience and training. Okay, so our discussion in May, I needed to point out that we might need both of our resumes together to even get assigned a Greenlee intern. Okay,
which we did.
Which we did not. The deal on the intern that was cut between HR and Leanne was for someone who was an HR specialist, if you will. She's in school for HR and would not necessarily be the person that bringing on a full-time communications intern for the summer would not necessarily be the person that would be automatically thought of.
Right. Did that come to the board?
It never came to the board. I didn't know about it until Alyssa told me that day. Okay. So that it was already a done deal. All right. So moving forward. And then this again is still my response here to Leanne. The last I heard about that discussion a couple of months ago, Leanne had talked to IT and they indicated they likely had a desktop. I understood that we were going to follow up on that. And that was, you know, where I was in March. And so, you know, I just know the process goes. Now we have an intern. That's the next logical step is to go ahead and move on this. Certainly, inquiring about a desktop was an issue that needed to be done back in March. As it is, as it's all turned out, none of the desktops were going to be able to host that software anyway, so they've now, I believe, purchased a desktop. They had to purchase a desktop with appropriate computing power.
So we didn't have anything at the time of request that it would fit on, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that would be able to run the programs quickly.
And
we're right.
Just now taking possession of that computer. We now have it.
Right. And as you kind of follow here, you'll see why, because we didn't order it and didn't make the assertion, ascertain from IT if we had anything available.
Yeah.
Okay. So, continuing with the letter. Please do so now. So, yes, I am directing her again. And ask IT to transfer the Creative Suites license to that desktop. Rachel should be doing as much of her communications work as possible at the communications workstation. If that was not thought about at the time you and Alyssa decided to share her as an intern, the three of you will need to work out a schedule for her that allows enough flexibility for her to cover events via writing and photography. That was the discussion that Leanne and I had about the ability of an intern that we would bring on for a communications internship would be someone that would have not only maybe possibly some skill with writing and photography, but also have flexibility to be able, because as happens even in a county communication situation, you don't always get a pick what time that someone's going to be given a an award, okay, what time they're recognized for their retirement, what time there may be something out at conservation to cover. So there needs to be some flexibility in the scheduling. All right. So this is the timeline and the events after May 22nd of 17. On June 6th, I went into Leanne's office to look at the video camera mount, okay, because we were purchasing a tripod. While there, of course, it was pretty noticeable that there was still not a workstation with a desktop in, and I asked why that had not been done. I do not go into Leanne's office hardly at all. Clearly, it had been a month or so since I've been in. And Leanne's response was, I thought about it, and it will decrease my mobility. Well, that had already been, we made it very clear what was supposed to happen with that license, and there was plenty of opportunity if there was a concern to have expressed that in multiple conversations before that, and to express it to any member of the board, not just me, okay?
Did we have a desktop to put that on June 6th?
No, because to my understanding, she still had not talked to IT, okay? So there were some sequence of events that seemed logical to have to happen here for us to get that on. So going back to, let's take May 22nd, all right, at that point we've now got an intern, we've got reality here, and so if there had not been inquiry about the desktop before, that was the time to then ascertain it with IT or before, okay? So then I reply, yes, it will, and that it was an instruction, not a suggestion. So once again, from my understanding, I had the ability to be able, on this limited task, to be able to direct an employee to do something to follow through that the board had already said was going to be done.
Okay. Without putting a date on it. Okay. All right.
Well, I would go back to May 22nd being the date, if you will. But no, I didn't.
But I'm saying the board never put a date certain on it. The board left it really nebulous that eventually it makes sense to have this on a, or you yourself in the email says we discussed the first year. You know, ultimately it would end up on a its own, but this first year we're going to have some flexibility. Now that we have an intern identified, it makes sense that we would move to that.
Right.
But what I'm wondering is, so you started to notice these problems in May. You issued the directive on May 16th, in your mind,
right.
You issued the directive on May 16th. Morris, you do a really, really thorough job of updating the board during our supervisor announcements and things every week. You do a really, really thorough job, and yet that didn't rise to the level that you were going to mention to us, oh, by the way, I'm having this trouble getting the workstation down there. And it just doesn't seem like it flows with the way you do everything else.
I did mention individually to you, Rick, but I am hearing what you are saying. Okay, if that helps, because I think you knew I was having a problem because I mentioned it to you, but that wasn't good enough. It should have been coming to the board. Is what you said at
yes.
That point. I should have come to the board and brought it up at that point.
Well, we're going to talk. Yeah, we're going to talk about this later, I'm sure, Morris. But for me, the way I believe this board operates, and I'll look to Jessica for what the law is. Nobody works for any of the three of us individually. Nobody. Nobody works for you. Nobody works for me. Nobody works for Marty. A lot of people work for us collectively. And if it's not clear, if it's not clear direction from the Board of Supervisors, none of the three of us have the right to direct anybody to do anything unless we're expressly authorized by the Board of Supervisors to give that direction. So all this paperwork that I'm signing, the only reason I signed it is because the Board of Supervisors gives me the authority to sign this. If I ever sign it without the Board's authority, it's meaningless, or I'm putting myself in personal jeopardy.
Okay. So going back to the videos, there was never an express vote.
Right.
All right. That's what your point is that even though there was clear when you watched the videos, it was clear that I was going to be the point person in working with Leanne on that. That in itself did not give authority, even though she was a direct reporter.
I don't believe.
I'm repeating what I
said. Absolutely. It was, and I would ask if you agree with this. I don't believe there was ever a time that the Board of Supervisors issued a directive that this computer software shall, by date certain, be on its own workstation. Did you think that ever happened?
No, it did not. Okay, so then during that same period of time, time to put contextual factors in place, okay, I felt an additional issue was the misuse of what I term informal, because I'm not aware that it's written down anywhere, but there's a flexible scheduling policy. And per RIF, because this is where I got it from, staff reporting directly to the Board of Supervisors are allowed much flexibility in scheduling their work hours, but only if any outstanding work is caught up or done before the staff arrives late or leaves early, correct?
Yeah, so there is no flex time. They work, they turn in their timesheets every pay period. As chair of the board, I sign every single timesheet for all our direct reports and all our department heads, and review those as well as whoever they report to, Deb or Alyssa, reviews them as well. But as far as this, so what we don't have with our direct reports or our department heads is there is not a punch the clock at 8 o'clock and punch the clock when you go to lunch and punch the clock at 5 o'clock when you go home. But they do, in fact, keep track every single week, every hour they keep track of the time they spend working for Story County. And so if you're asking if these are professional positions where there's some flexibility, if they need to take a kid to the dentist or they need to have yeah, absolutely. If they have a daughter playing in the state championship soccer game, absolutely there's some flexibility with the expectation that they're getting their job done. And it's been that way in Story County. It was that way before you joined 16 years ago.
Okay. I have no argument with how that is structured. You're right. These are professional positions. Jumping ahead, you know that I came to you when it turned out that I had...
After the fact,
that I needed to get some input from you on something. We'll move along here. And flex time use, or however you say it, came instead of what I needed. Okay.
Yeah, but I don't consider it flex time. I consider each one of our department heads.
I don't know what to call it.
Yeah, they keep their own. They have a job to do, and we expect them to do the job.
Okay. The decision about how to allocate time. How's that?
Okay. Yep.
So the decision to allocate time on May 18th. I sent an email to Leanne. It was in response to an email she sent to me about the Story County Ames Housing Trust Assessment Survey. Okay, she found finally her hard copy of it. So that was what came. So then I responded back to her. The first comment is that, I'm talking about going forward with the estimate. And I asked, how long will it take to issue a new RFP and send notices out? So I asked that question on May 18th. On June 8th, I had to ask it again. I'm just going to make a comment to IT. I can't conceive of myself ever being up at 2:45 a.m., but that's the time it says. Okay. And I respond, I'm still waiting for your response.
I was impressed.
I was like, that was really? Okay. And then I explain why I'm trying to, a little bit more about why I'm trying to get information. But so I had gone, I felt a long period of time just to get an answer, and it was during that period when there was some rescheduling on her part to go ahead and accommodate, I guess, the softball district tournaments, maybe. I don't know the timing exactly. But so I think I asked a legitimate question, and one that really I really was concerned that I didn't get communication back any sooner. I then did get communication back then still on June 8th, the second time I asked it. So, and then this is her response here, okay? And it went on about. So then
What does her response say?
Oh, well, okay, I only took a screenshot of it. It says below are the steps set forth in the draft RFP, blah, 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 and the process, and then she gives me some links, and then she gives me some additional information.
So she did not respond on May 13th when you asked the question.
May 18th. Right.
As when you asked the question as part of another email, and then she responded dang near immediately when you asked it on the 8th.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
That is correct.
Okay.
I don't know if that time correct is either. So you'd have to ask Leanne if that would be a time she would be up in the morning. Okay. Okay. Then the second one during the same time period on June 5th, Leanne informed me that she would be in the office until noon on June 8th. And then she's going to Des Moines for a softball tournament.
Soccer.
Okay, then she's going to a child's tournament. Okay.
State championship tournament. Semifinal. Okay.
So, all right. So when I hear they run all the way to. Okay, so to a tournament. So on June 5th, I left a message for her at 4:30 p.m. And you can see it's down there in the bottom about it. This actually, by the time a return came, but there is my little voicemail that went, or, you know, I went into her voice box or to her voicemail, and then it shows up as an email. Okay. And I asked her to call me or stop by the office before leaving on June 8th, the 17th. So I think I was pretty specific about that. And then I got a response from her at 11:33. Hi, I missed you before I left. I'll be in tomorrow at 8. Mm-hmm. And I then told she'd be there till noon. And then I went to you to discuss this, okay? And you told me that you'd given her approval to leave at 10:30.
I think that morning. I think she came in that and Leanne, you'll have to help me if I'm not remembering this correctly, but I think that morning you came in and said, hey, things are happening quickly. I need to go ahead and get down there. Can I get down there? Can I leave at 10:30? And I said, hey, you got everything done? Sure you can. Yeah. Is that close to accurate?
I think it might have actually been that Monday night after.
That you asked. Okay.
So, and did I hear you say, if you have everything done?
That's how I always feel about it. I trust. Right. We've got phenomenal staff, and I trust them to get their work done. Absolutely.
Okay. So, I really feel in this particular situation, the email I left gave my cell phone, gave when she could call me that evening, and talked about needing to make contact with her by noon. Okay. So I feel I was pretty clear there about I needed to make contact with her about an issue. Okay, it happened to be it was the KSI contract. Okay, because I certainly didn't want to be putting this on the agenda without having had a conversation with her. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
At the point of order, I'm going to ask for a historic professor's perspective. Is Leanne's position something that we would see working in the off hours of the business day?
I believe that Leanne does not reflect all the hours she works. I think that Leanne works a lot of times from home and early in the mornings, as we saw from the 7:44 response, that she doesn't put on her timesheet. But I don't know that to be the case. I know that her timesheet shows that she works really, really regularly hours, and the hours that she lists, she is in fact working.
Okay. So then here is her response to me at 1:30, here's my email then to her after hearing that she wasn't going to be contacting me. And then
I said, I had already left her the voicemail saying what I wanted to talk about. I expand further here and asked to talk about it for the next, could we talk about it at 8:30 that next day, okay? As it turned out, I got a subsequent email from her then the next morning saying, yeah, everything sounds fine to me. So, and then finally, okay, whoops, all right. My fingers don't seem to want to work, so, all right. And then this is my last kind of problem about during this period of time for context. There's confusion about retaining an HR intern as the communications intern this fall. And, of course, last week Leanne tells us she's had an informal conversation with Noelle, because I did go back and listen to the tape. It's not with Alyssa also. In HR about keeping the current intern into the fall, and then Alyssa did go to check that out with Noelle, and apparently Noelle says no such conversation took place. And so I'm concerned about what may have been given possibly to Rachel, or you know what was represented to us at the board table about this was further along in the process about the intern for the fall than had not been apparently when Alyssa did the search on it. So, so in conclusion, I feel. All right, so the Board of Supervisors were clear and consistent in having Loris Olson serve as the lead supervisor in working with Leanne Harder on enhancing and improving communications, including obtaining and installing the Adobe Creative Suite software for shared use with an intern. And second of all, that Leanne willfully chose not to install the software as directed by the Board of Supervisors and its designated spokesperson for this issue, that's where apparently we have a disagreement on, with the reason appearing to be more for her own convenience than the good of Story County. And I think that is why I've presented this with this as insubordination on this. And I'm asking that the Board of Supervisors direct the Board Chairman, to place a letter of reprimand in Leanne Harder's file, noting her willful failure to follow directions issued on behalf of and in keeping with the stated purpose and intent of the Story County Board of Supervisors. And that's the end of my presentation.
Super. All right. Thank you. So, Jessica, I'm not real sure where to go from here. I believe that Leanne... Okay, so let's do that now. So, Loris,
yes.
You come back up here, please. Leanne, now's your opportunity to come up. Angie, I think almost everybody here knows you, but please start by introducing yourself.
Absolutely. I guess good afternoon, and I'm Angelina Thomas with New Bro Law Firm, and I'm here on behalf of Leanne Harder.
Thank you for being here. Okay, you guys, we're asking for response to anything and everything that we just presented.
Well, thank you for this opportunity for Leanne to be heard. I'm not going to do all the talking, but before we proceed, I wanted to point out a couple of things. When this allegation first came out, I immediately contacted Alyssa Wignall and asked for some information to get specifics about what is this allegation, what documentation do you have of this, and what is the working definition of insubordination. I was provided very promptly, this was Friday afternoon, Monday morning, I received an email response back from Alyssa Wignall indicating that the working definition of insubordination is, quote, a willful disregard of an employer's instruction, especially behavior that gives the employer cause to terminate a worker's employment, an act of disobedience to proper authority, especially a refusal to obey an order that a superior is authorized to give, end quote. I was also provided a copy of the Story County Employee Handbook as requested. I did not receive any specifics regarding the allegation on Monday because they had not yet been received by Supervisor Olson. We did get an email last night about 5:15 that had been forwarded, that had been apparently sent by Supervisor Olson at 5 o'clock yesterday evening that sort of outlined, I guess, what the allegations are. So I appreciate the clarification that happened this afternoon, and I was going to ask for those. I guess after hearing those clarifications, my main point that I asked the board to consider is that, as I think has already come out, that the board of directors is the employer of Ms. Harder, not any specific supervisor. And we certainly do not feel that any direct order by the Board of Supervisors to Leanne was not followed. There were not any deadlines established for any of the events. And, in fact, I think we see a deadline of up to a year to have a Adobe software put on a desktop. And in point of fact, that desktop was ordered on May 22nd, as Leanne will talk about. Was installed, and that software has been installed. And I'll have Leanne speak to the other issues. But before we get to the meat of those issues, overall, there is a concern. Obviously, Leanne asked me to be here, hired me to be here today. She's been a longstanding, valued employee of this county. This seems to be a shoot first, ask questions later. And it's troubling to Leanne as a public servant who's worked for this county since 1998. And we certainly want to dispel any misunderstandings, but we also hope that this isn't the way business is going to be conducted in the future.
Thank you. I agree. Leanne.
I'm going to start by saying I appreciate the opportunity to be here this afternoon. And with all respect to the three of you, I work for the citizens of Story County. I had someone recently in a school board environment say quite simply he had a public service heart, and that really resonated with me. That is how I was raised by my parents, to serve others, mm-hmm. and that is how I approach each and every day. I'm going to just quickly recap the time frame, specifically in regards to the purchase of Adobe Creative Suites and computer. I had an opportunity, as Angie noted, after I did receive the email from her last evening and spent some time reviewing my emails as well. So I'll just go through this quickly. I'll be glad to share this with everyone after, too. 12.2, I did email Supervisor Olson to determine which Adobe programs would be best to purchase. This was following the initial work session discussions in January. Supervisor Olson did reply to that listing. Then, as noted earlier, on February 28th, the board did have the discussion for the purchase of the camera software and potential computer. On March 6th, there were questions and discussions between Alyssa Lignall, Barb Steinbeck, myself, and Supervisor Olson, and eventually Lucy Martin and Lisa Markley to determine how to pay for the purchase of that software suite. Then on March 3rd, 20th, IT staff did thankfully order the Adobe software. I'm not sure of the date, but prior to April 4th, the software was installed and updated. I have an email from IT staff requesting my password to be able to update something, so I knew it was prior to then. I then spent actually a couple weeks learning an entirely new software package to me. I had never worked with the Adobe Creative Suite, and then I successfully did the layout and publication for the spring issue of Our Story. And I think it was very well done. I really am very proud of the effort I put into that. Then on, as Supervisor Olson noted, the meeting in May on 16th between she and I, part of our items discussed was putting the software on a second computer. On May 22nd, I did confirm Adobe with IT, Adobe Creative Cloud can only be installed on one computer. Those are in emails. The reason I really was starting to question that was as I was training myself through YouTube and all these other videos on new software, a couple presenters kept on saying, you can install this on more than one machine. So I'm sitting there thinking, I have a Surface tablet, has a pen, I can be creative on this. Can I use it here and here? I mean, is there an opportunity to really maximize the purchase which Story County invested? I did receive clarification back from IT that was limited to one, so as Supervisor Olson did follow up, and she did share the email response from our dialogue at that point. That day, though, I did email Barb Steinbeck, our IT director, to find out if there was an extra desktop available for use. The following day, on May 23rd, I received an email from Barb Steinbeck requesting a software installation request, and I believe that I did a SysAid request, which is how we request software help desk tickets. She did note that there was some concern that there's a general policy that there's not more than one computer per staff, and that would be shifting direction from that general policy. And then, as noted, on June 7th, Supervisor Olson was in my office and asked whether or not where the desktop was, as she indicated. I just said I'd been thinking about having Creative Cloud software on another computer and really losing a portability issue, having this tablet, and I really wanted to have a discussion with the board on what that meant. And then after that, I was directed to get the additional computer, and I did email Barb asking how Barb Steinbeck how to proceed. Then on June 13th, there was a discussion between Barb Steinbeck, Alyssa Wignall, Supervisor Olson, and myself. It was via email. I want to mention that. Regarding where to place the computer, it had been ordered. It was an unbudgeted item, so it was figuring out, I think, one elected official had possibly ordered a computer. The steps to go to ordering a computer were managed by IT. The decision was made to use a 4-foot table that the board purchased that was on the main floor of this building to put in my office. So I did that, and then last week IT actually did put it in my office, the computer, and unfortunately we did have a couple instances of the computer dying on me, for lack of a better word, breathing. So we did find out, much to our amusement, that you can log on to Creative Suite on more than one unit too. I'm able to log on my tablet too. I'll be glad to answer any questions. There were a lot of points that Supervisor Olson has, and I was able to go through and just share them with Angie. But I think I'll just open up to questions. Clarification.
Yes, the County Attorney, Jess Rose. Make sure we can hear you, Jessica.
Okay, just as a point of clarification for me as Counselor County, are you saying that the desktop is installed with the software currently?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Okay, so that issue is moving down the green. What's the claim for the issue that it's installed with the software?
It is installed. Are you asking me if I think that needs the charge moved or just the, no, it's now done, yes.
Okay, so by your claim was that you had authority and directed to believe that we're in agreement that it's done, is that right?
We're in agreement that it's done now. My concern was in the multiple times that was discussed before, head into when it needed to be done. Without setting a date, the understanding was when we got an injury. Yes.
So you're saying it wasn't timely then?
Correct. I'm saying it wasn't timely.
Okay. Thank you, Jessica. So I've got two questions. One, I hope you'll answer for me. The other, I'd ask Angie, I'd ask you to weigh in before she answers my second question. First question is, Leanne, was there ever a time that you felt that this board directed you that you should have that software on its own workstation?
I know through the budget work session, and I went back and listened to the discussion on communications plan on January 10th, and my work program too, which was a subsequent agenda item, mm-hmm. on that meeting, and in February it was discussed. In my mind, it was still, as Angie pointed out, I've been here at Story County for 20
sure.
years. I understand how long it takes to get a computer when it's not budgeted. I kind of approached it, I wanted to make sure that we could dot the I's and cross T's before I just said, let's order a computer and put it on there.
Sure, and I think I'm agreeing with you, but what I'm asking is, was there ever a time that you felt like the board said to you, this will be done by date certain?
No, definitely not by date certain.
Okay. And then my second question is, and again, think,
before you answer. How have you felt treated and valued by Supervisor Olson through all this?
Well, I think I'll let her answer in a moment, but the fact that I am sitting here today with her is an obvious answer to that question.
My professional reputation is at stake. I take great pride in being very well respected, being a regional planner in the state of Iowa. I have had a very successful career in planning. I never in my wildest dreams I expect to have some sort of obligation to face. I appreciate the opportunity to have this candid discussion open as well. And I have, to answer your question, I have not felt valued. I felt second guessed on every second.
Thank you. Marty, questions?
This is an unpleasant process that I would like to have thought could have been dealt with in another manner. I know the board collectively has tried to do that. Unfortunately, we find ourselves in this day. Being here just over 12 months now, served 6 months with another board member, pretty straightforward, was learning the craft and went well. In the subsequent 6 months, it has turned into a clunky affair that oftentimes I am asked, how are things going? And I don't know how to answer sometimes. I think this is pretty insightful how sometimes our jobs turned into. I did not have any clear timelines in my mind. I think Laura spoke to it. I thought this is something that was come to be. I think that we talked about the fact that we were tethered to the dollar value on what we suspected was going to be a one point of application. We found out maybe that's not the case, which is good. I know that Rachel, just going by her and asking what she does, has been tasked to do some heavy lifting in ways I don't think she was suspected in having to do, but she's certainly shown herself capable. I think, Leanne, you have given her things to do, and it's an evolving position, as we've done just in this short time frame we're talking about this issue at hand. I have done this in another capacity, and I am very mindful of the fact that a county employee has brought an attorney here. I see that as a failure, and I see that as a collective failure, and I hope there is a way forward out of this.
I don't know how it's a collective failure. I don't have any idea how it's a collective failure.
Well, we own this as a board, and the thing is, I think we have brought failure to our doorstep.
Can I just say one other thing? All this notwithstanding, I'm a very proud Story County employee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very proud to work for Story County.
Thank you. Laura's questions or comments?
I just have one, I guess, as Leanne was going through her, kind of going through her comments, and that I do not recall being in your office that day with you saying that you wanted to communicate with the board, and that was because you were waiting for a seminar. So it was, I recall, a shorter conversation.
I agree. I think I just commented that I was afraid or reluctant or concerned about losing affordability. And then in my mind, I just shared with you all that I would have liked to have brought that discussion to the
board. Okay, I'm sorry. I must have missed the first couple. I am sorry that you don't feel valued. I'm genuinely sorry, because that's not true. I have liked working with you over the years as interacting as a journalist. There is no question that I come from a very different background than county staff, no question about it, including what is said, what is done, what is considered acceptable communication. When it comes to the issue of dealing with the second guest, I would go back to the video we didn't get to watch about how I bring in a skill set. It is my sincere hope that you would be able, with all three of us, to learn from the skill set that we each bring in. This was very uncomfortable for me also, because I know in private industry when there are direct reports, I know what I would do. I get saying, please do something, is the equivalent of do it. Okay? It's so polite, but it is the equivalent of. And so, yes, I am still on a learning curve when it comes to when is it appropriate to ask a staff member to do anything? And when, in fact, does it require an actual motion from the board with the types of, with this being said here? I think there was a reason some people voted for me. And it wasn't because I am very, very emotional, all right? That everybody knows that, okay? I work hard to not do that, to communicate in a passionate but not debatably manner. You're telling me I'm not accomplishing that, so I didn't do it hard. Okay? I'm sorry about that. But I do bring some different experience, some different perspective to the board. And so while I think we are all in agreement that certainly behind the scenes it's not as smooth as it could have been, I think if you take a look at our accomplishment record up here and you take a look at the compromise that has occurred and you take a look at how that we have moved ahead, that is indicative that we are all committed to serving Story County also. So once again, Leanne, I'm very sorry that you feel devalued and undervalued. That was not the intent. The intent here was to just get some things done that from the world I come in with a clear understanding of what had to be accomplished.
Lars, thank you. So just three things from what you just talked about. One, you're telling Leanne that you're sorry she feels like she's not valued. Can you walk me through how there's ever a case that somebody can claim insubordination against somebody and they feel valued?
In this particular instance, no. I thought she was talking in broader terms when she talked about being second manager, and that. No, there's no way to take this positively. There is not. I have made this charge in my good faith effort. It was not to hurt you. I understand it hurts. I understand if the situation were reversed, I would also be very, very upset about being judged by this, but I try to address this behind the scenes, struggling with the fact that two of us makes a quorum. I try to address this behind the scenes in getting clarity on what are the rules of operation behind the scenes, because I'm learning that there are some. So
that gives
you no comfort that I don't expect it to. Okay?
So, Lars, you're saying nobody's ever told you outside of this board meeting, outside of a board meeting, that no one supervisor has direct authority over any of our staff? Are you saying that's never occurred?
Oh, no, that has occurred, and I'm still trying to sort through it. Where I think the last conversation occurred on that a few days ago was that I go in and I watch these videos, and from the world I come from, I see a very specific authority there. Okay? I mean, was there a motion? No, but it was quite clear in January 10th in the communications plan, and again quite clear on February 28th. That I was being praised for the communication, praised for working with Leanne together in this, and that in my world, where I come from, as I said, I'm still not familiar with needing a vote for a direction. And so I thought I had, in this instance, actually had the backing of the board. What I'm learning here is the backing of the board is not the same as the vote of the board.
if any of us do not have express authorization from the Board of Supervisors to do a specific act, we don't have the authority to do that act.
So
none.
Your employees, your direct reports to the Board of Supervisors, are employees of the entity,
right,
not any individual supervisor, just like I represent the entity, not any individual supervisor. So as an entity, your direct reports are employed by the entity. Mm-hmm. The entity must make decisions and direct staff. Unless the entity specifically, by motion, directs one supervisor to, be a supervisor of direct report. You have to take action authorizing that.
Specific,
correct.
Not general. Not general, Rick, you take care of this area, and now all of a sudden that person works for Rick's standards. It doesn't happen.
Right.
Much like we did with Crestview here just a little bit ago in the meeting.
You don't have the authorization
to,
right,
to know one of us as representing the board.
And I think I underscored it when we talked about Crestview. Second question I had, Morris, was you said it feels like we're convoluting ask and direct. So you said you felt like you had the ability, or now you're questioning whether you have the ability to ask staff anything. And I don't think anything's been said here today that suggests that any supervisor can't ask staff any question we want to ask them. That's different, and I'm asking if you agree with this, that's different than directing staff to do something, asking them something.
I'm hearing today, and we've tried to talk about this before, and I don't think that if we talk in general terms that we are violating any law, correct?
Can we take a break and
can
I consult with you?
Sure.
3 minutes. Okay. Do you guys want to clarify anything, Jessica and Loris? And if you're going to speak, please get closer to the microphone.
We
want to
wait for Angie.
Okay.
Okay.
Loris? Nor I want to say that we invite to move forward once Angie returns.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, sorry.
Okay, so the other thing that I want to say, and we're on the record and we're going, and then I can say this without Angie here, is you just noted, Loris, that this board has really, really worked hard to find compromise and find areas. I think you've acknowledged on several occasions that my primary focus since you were elected was to try to form this team. And you've actually criticized me for saying we rather than I, and that I'm much more interested in forming a team, not that agrees necessarily or even likes each other, but that works together for the good of Story County and the people of Story County, which is why we're here. The one area that we absolutely have fallen back in since you joined us, either as a direct result or an indirect result, is morale of our staff and the feeling valued by our staff. And there's multiple demonstrations that we can go to. There's multiple concerns that I prefer not to go to. But one thing that I think demonstrates it is, if you look around this room and how many staff members we have at 1:30 here to listen to this, it should indicate to you that there are major, major, major concerns in this area. So that was it. I didn't think Angie needed to be around for that. Jessica and Loris, where are we?
We're moving forward.
What does that mean to me?
Closer
to the microphone, please.
Does anyone have anything else to say about the claim of insubordination relative to the workstation and the software? Time for a vote.
Yeah, so I want to ask a question of you and maybe Alyssa. I'm not sure who answered this question. You guys have said and listened to all of this. So I don't believe that there was ever a clear directive given either by the board to Leanne Harder to have that desktop in a date certain with the software installed on it. And there absolutely was never a directive from the Board of Supervisors to any one of us, but specifically in this case, Loris Olson, that they had the authority to direct anybody to do anything. And if those two things are true, then by definition, there can be no insubordination.
Okay.
I'll leave that to the vote of the board, but legally I haven't heard anything that would meet the legal definition of insubordination.
Okay. Anything else? So, Loris, I'm taking, and maybe I shouldn't do this, maybe you want to go ahead and make the motion. The last slide you had there was a request that the BOA, that the Board of Supervisors put a letter of reprimand in Leanne's file. Would you take us through, if you got it written down there, if you want to make that motion, make that motion.
I would like to move that the Board of Supervisors direct the Board Chairman to place a letter of reprimand in Leanne Harder's file, noting her willful failure to follow directions issued on behalf of and in keeping with the stated purpose and intent of the Story County Board of Supervisors.
So for the purposes of me being able to say what I'm about to say, I'm going to second that. I second it. So now we're to discussion. This is ludicrous. Everything you've heard, you said, just sat there and said, okay, I'm completely wrong. I didn't realize that this is the way government worked. You apologized to Leanne. You've gone through this whole exercise realizing that you're entirely wrong. That you're bringing things to this job that are inappropriate, you recognize the temper that you have and how you occasionally treat people inappropriately, and yet you're still going to be willing to make that motion? That is, you should have just withdrawn and said, hey, I've learned a lot here today, and there is no insubordination, away we go, and you still made the motion, and that, Morris, underscores the problem.
I agree there's a problem. I don't agree that I am the entire problem. You asked me to make the motion.
I asked if you wanted to make the motion. I didn't put words in your mouth. I said, you talked about this. If you want to make the motion, make the motion.
I sincerely still believe that what happened and what ended up the sequence involved was insubordination by the definition that I bring in. Our county attorney has now let me know that this is wrong, this is not appropriate, let me back up, that this is not correct. I will admit, I leave this meeting today just trying to figure out at what point then does something get done if you have a direct report who isn't acting upon a sequence of events. I have to admit that I am left trying to figure out how we get our how we work with our direct reports if something's not done. But I will learn.
Yeah. Well, the answer is we trust them to do the continued great job that they're doing. And what you better walk out here with is you don't have any direct reports. I don't have any direct reports, and Marty doesn't have any direct reports. None. Zero. None of us get to issue directives to anybody. Anything further before we vote? Olson?
Aye.
Sanders, no. Chitty?
No.
Okay. So we can move on from this item, and then the next item, discussion consideration of county outreach and special projects manager performance and expectation of the Board of Supervisors. I believe it is wholly inappropriate for us to go through what we just went through and now come back and have this conversation. I don't see where this is accomplishing anything or anything positive. Loris, you've asked for it to be on here. Take it away.
I did. I actually have a handout that with some suggested additional expectations for this position, and then I have additional suggested essential duties and responsibilities. So that's why I asked for it to be on. Okay.
One for me.
And then Leanne. This is the other.
This is
Leanne.
a slide that Leanne had attached to a presentation that she made to the American Planning Association. And that's the job description. Okay. Summarize. Okay. Performs complex professional work developing, coordinating, and directing activities to support the communication needs for Story County by consulting with department heads and elected officials to strategize, create, and implement multiple forms of communications. And let's stop there. The rest of it has to do with planning, development, et cetera. Okay. And so the suggested additional expectations for this position are the first, I'll just read them since I'm sorry, I didn't print off enough for everyone. Number one is anticipates and plans for internal and external communication deadlines enough in advance to accommodate elected officials and department head schedules and to maximize the promotion opportunities of specific mediums. The second one is develops and diversifies styles of writing to improve the presentation of information and better engage readers, especially in pieces produced for mass market publications like the Story County Sun. Depth communication / outreach interns to make certain they possess basic journalism / mass communication skills, including writing clear, colorful, and interesting copy, making effective use of quotes. Sorry, gentlemen, there's a comma missing there. Understanding basic videography skills and exhibiting familiarity with at least one common audio and one common video editing program and one common design layout program. Take advantage of the knowledge and expertise of all three supervisors to grow in all roles and produce quality professional work in all areas. So then under suggested essential duties and responsibilities, and quite frankly, as I went through the performance reviews, I wasn't quite clear which of these shows into one category and which the other. That would be, Melissa, your area. Okay. Consistently monitors traditional and social media content for coverage or commentary, mentioning or highlighting Story County government and employees when performing their assigned tech duties. Notifies the appropriate county departments and officials when they are mentioned. Seeks out speaking and interview opportunities for elected officials and county staff. Previews presentation materials and PowerPoints for professionalism appearance and conformity with county branding standards. Incorporates video anytime outreach staff is covering presentations sponsored by the county. Consult with board of supervisors on presenter contracts when there are video prohibitions. Works with departments to create instructional and promotional videos, coordinates promotion of the finished videos using a variety of media. So these are the additions that I would suggest be made to the performance review, performance evaluation, as we move forward. Looking at this, they also might be instead tasks and goals that might be appropriate when I bring back after July 11th the listing of kind of communications where we might want to be going in the future and decide if we want to hire a consultant.
Okay, so you're adding these tasks and expectations to what is already completely packed full-time job. Are you removing anything, or are you suggesting that we just like her to take these actions?
Well, I think Leanne is overworked myself. I mean, I think I've reiterated that with Marty several times. I'm concerned about it, okay? Anything on this list, the one that I would like to add immediately is the first one on the list, which is anticipating and plans for internal and external communication deadlines enough in advance to accommodate elected officials and department head schedules and to maximize the promotion opportunities of specific mediums. And I think that one is very tied into an internship that we could still activate in the summer on this. The other ones are of the four at the top,
are, I think, areas that maybe as we move forward in the production of the next two, actually three, issues of the Story County Sun, and as we look at a summer intern, that those could be incorporated as we need them. Right now, there's a new edition of the Sun on my desk, so it's been through one group, and so it's now time to edit for another, to take a look at it. So the other ones possibly would be looked at then later, but these are where I brought forward where I think that some of the accusations about me micromanaging may come from. I mean, and that these are some goals or expectations there.
Goals or expectations that are not part of
her current job description or her current evaluation,
and yet you're issuing expectations of her on this.
Well, in talking about it, I do think that the number one is actually an expectation now. It should be an expectation now.
So I'm curious, when you asked for Alyssa's professional opinion on this, what kind of feedback did you get?
Well, considering I just brought them, Alyssa hasn't seen it yet. I am introducing this.
Okay, introduced. I don't think, so you're asking for action here. I don't think the board can take any action
based on this. That may have been a communication on what I was asking for.
Okay, so have you done what you wanted to do here?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Is there anything else we need to talk about on this item on the agenda?
No.
All right. So, Leanne, my deepest apologies that we went through this. I am so profoundly disappointed that this is where we are. What you need to know is, well, again, you look out here in the audience. You need to know that you are valued, that your years of service to the people of Story County is appreciated. And the reality is, some of the things we talked about at this meeting, we don't get the C2C plan done without you. There were lots of people who put in lots of effort. We don't ever get that done. We don't get the CPAC. We don't have a capital improvements program. You go down the list of things that Story County is doing today that we were not doing when you assumed this role. The list is really, really long. And you do a phenomenal job. And I'm willing to say that right here in front of your attorney for the public record. We're fortunate to have you, and it is sad and embarrassing that we just went through this.
Mr. Chairman, may I speak to a couple of
things? Absolutely.
Thank you. In Supervisor Olson's presentation regarding this global insubordination claim, there were two other issues that came out that were, I think, supposed to be contextual, but are very troubling to me. Number one, there was this allegation of misuse of time, where it apparently had already been made clear by yourself, Chairman Sanders, to Chairman Olson, that in fact she had the authority and the ability to use her time in the manner she was using it, yet the allegation was still brought forth. And finally, and probably most troubling, is a allegation that was really not discussed at much length, but this allegation that Ms. Harder had lied to this board, and it wasn't used in that term, but it was couched in that. That's exactly what was being stated, that she lied to this board in last week's meeting by saying she had a conversation about expanding the intern's hours. And I believe there was a paraphrase of last week's meeting, and I've listened to that meeting.
I'm sorry.
That Ms. Olson paraphrased to say that she had spoken to Alyssa Lignall, and Alyssa had spoken to Noel, and that conversation didn't take place. Number one, that's double hearsay. And second of all, my understanding in talking to other people, if we're going to be thrown around hearsay, was in fact that Noel and Alyssa Wignall didn't recall if that conversation had taken place, and that it certainly may have in the context of many different discussions. And so this misrepresentation of someone lying, I think, is a very troubling issue. And then, of course, finally, the fact that we had the county attorney here, legal counsel for this board, instructing this board before this motion was even taken, was even made, that there wasn't any legal authority to go forward with an insubordination claim, yet the motion was still made. Ms. Harder has spent money to have me here, or will have spent money. You know, is this board going to reimburse her for her legal fees for having to go forward? And how many other employees are going to feel in this position that they have to expend their own funds to defend their ability to come work for the people of Story County? So, again, I think there's a bigger issue here besides a misunderstanding of the role of the Board of Supervisors, because even when it was made clear what that role was, we're still here. So I guess I'd ask this board to talk about what redress we have to.
Yeah, so Angie, I don't think I can answer that question. I would refer you to our legal counsel for any questions like that, and if it's something that the board needs to consider in the future, we consider in the future, I think that's handy between you and Jessica to talk about. Jessica and I
agree.
Thank you very much. All right. While we're on this theme, now we get to go to discussion and consideration of another longstanding employee, Board of Supervisors Chair Evaluation of Director of External Operations and County Services. And so I'll start with this. The current practice of the board and the continuing practice of the board, unless the board chooses to change it, is that the chairman of the Board of Supervisors does an evaluation of any of our direct reports. Deb is one of our direct reports. I was elected chair this year by these two, and so it fell to me to do the evaluation. Standard practice has been that evaluation, when completed between the supervisor and the employee in this case, is circulated among the board. To this point, until this one, there have never been comments. It's just been notification, and then that evaluation has gone in the personnel file, and as we see here, there's generally a monetary raise of some sort that goes along with the evaluation as you set those goals. That apparently is not appropriate in Supervisor Olson's mind, and so I've got, is it a six-page item here of what's wrong with the evaluation, and I guess I should start with, Deb, you have complete authority for us to go in closed session before we talk any more about this.
No closed session. I'm fine with open session.
Okay. So that's where we are. Loris, I'll go to you first.
Sure. I only show three pages here.
Okay. Three. It felt like six.
All right. Okay. So, Deb, I'd like to let you know that there's a common infection and there's a sporin infection, right? And in two of the sporin situations, legendary, but in two of them, I actually gave you a higher score than Richie. Okay? So I want you to put this all in context about it. I appreciate that we all three would get to go ahead and comment, and since including the report to all three of us, okay? And so that does mean that some of us are going to make comments or, you know, stuff. So I want to let you know that the majority of the comments that I have on here are actually either no changes or comments, because I went line by line on a multi-page evaluation, all right? And then also, for example, I put in a comment, her reliability and willingness to work until a task or project is successfully completed is recognized and respected not only by her peers and direct reports in the county, but by many of the community and human services agencies statewide. So once again, I'd like to remind everybody that just because it is a three-page, and I went through each individual item, okay? It does not in any way reflect that these are a bunch of negative comments, all right? Several of the comments that Mr. Sanders made, I questioned the use of a superlative when the score or the indicative, that the descriptive did not match, or adjective did not match up with the score. Okay, so that's the majority of his comments here. So there was one area where I'd like to see some growth in, And that growth actually has to do with taking a look at each one of the departments that directly report to you and being able to identify management in that to know and understand the specifics of that department and where there might be room to do a little bit of different management. And I happen to reference animal control, and what I did in referencing animal control is because we're dealing with live animals, you know, that maybe we're trying to now analyze the numbers, but to get in there and really understand. We're now doing that. And since the review reflects what has happened in the past, okay, so I wanted to make note of that. Then there is one, and there's a couple of comments that reference, I believe, the same thing, and I'm not clear about this, so I made note of this also. It's about your goal. It says, in one case, goal 3, to discuss fully integrate the Board of Supervisor operations to full utilization of current reporting structure. And it doesn't make any sense. I mean, it sounds like a lot of words put together. So I turned to the board. Could I get a more practical example of this?
100%. Absolutely. But let's handle this one at a time. Okay. Start on item 1.
Oh, way up at the top.
Way up. This is a great place to start.
Okay. That was the animal control one.
Yep. Just read that one, and then let's talk about it.
Okay. Animal control has reported to Deb for 2 years, yet it has taken the addition of a new supervisor knowledgeable in animal care issues to prompt Deb to ask basic administrative questions such as what is the shelter's realistic longer-term capacity and how are adoption rates calculated. Despite multiple complaints about communication and service delivery dating at least a year ago, Deb's remedial actions focused on paperwork rather than animal care and client response times, both having a strong health and safety components for the animals and the public. While this section only references, quote, administrative direction, end quote, Deb needs to be vigilant when operational complaints arise to make certain effective remedies take place quickly. She should also work on adapting her tracking and monitoring priorities to the unique functions of each specific department under her.
Yeah, that sounds really, really positive. Deb, do you have any comments about that?
Well, a couple of comments. There was a focus on some administrative tasks within this particular department. It was a result of comments that we received back from the state auditor's office. So, in my opinion, that did rise to a priority level for me to work with the department head on those particular comments. And I am pleased to say that was a very good collaboration, and we were able to address those comments that were cited in the county's audit.
Deb, it sounds to me like from the comments that all this just started because we had a new board member who has some interest in animal control. So my question, I've worked with you for multiple years, 8 now. I don't believe that's true. I think you had been working on all these items all the way through. I just want you to address it.
I view services provided to our county residents a high priority. I view customer service and providing those services as a high priority. Any complaints that I am made aware of, I address promptly. A couple of those examples are at the fall quadrant meeting. Last fall, there was a representative from the city council that came and talked to Rick about wanting to talk about animal control services. And we explained to that person that we would be doing that. We could do that with them as we work on re-upping the contracts for fiscal year 18. So that was last fall. And we were going to take that up after the budget work session, and that was what I communicated back to that city official. And that seemed to suffice at that point in time that we would be coming back and addressing that. In September of last year, I had a complaint come through the board's office, and I talked to Sue about that complaint. Collaboratively, Sue and two of her staff and I addressed that complaint with that individual and the mobile home park that they were living in. And then as recent as February of this year, I happened to be out of the office, but my colleague, Alyssa, took a phone call from a city clerk about some concerns, and she relayed that to Sue, and Sue followed up with that city clerk and then reported back to us as far as having that successfully addressed. So I feel that I am addressing complaints when they're brought to my attention as timely as possible. I would like more elaboration on my tracking and monitoring priorities unique to each department. I guess I have questions. I'm not exactly sure what that means.
Okay, sure. Well, we're doing that with the animal control right now, tracking exactly where the residents or guests or inventory, the price, what phrase is used. Okay, and we're continuing to work on that and to the unique functions of each department under you. I think we've found, as I've gone out around the county and talked to the city officials, the municipal officials on the contracts, that there was a wide range of things that had come back as far as tracking of information. People felt they never got called back, et cetera. And so when I'm talking about the tracking, I'm talking about monitoring. I'm talking about what types of complaints had been received, and also what could we do. One of the days that was enlightening for me was as we discussed at animal control, why is it people think there's never anybody at animal control? And it turned out it was because that there was a phone that just rang and rang and rang, as opposed to having a new voicemail set up in the second line. So tracking and monitoring priorities, is that something that was heard when I went out to the community from every single municipality that I talked to? And yet it turned out to be a very simple solution. So that's what I'm talking about, you know, is figuring out when we've got issues from with the different ones. And roads, there may be a separate group of issues. I brought back to the board about the safety at 566 Street, okay? You know, and it turned out that actually had been brought up before, all right? It's my understanding of that. So that's what I'm talking about, okay? It's just as you get more familiar with the department. I'd like to make a note here, coming back to me coming from private industry again. A review like this in private industry would be a glowing review, okay? In fact, I believe there are a lot of companies that do actually look for something somewhere where even the most perfect employee can go ahead and do something a little better. And so this was the comment on this, okay? I genuinely believe it. I genuinely feel it, all right? And I'm sad that apparently getting comments for improvement is not something that's done as part of a review here. The chair wrote out a review. Actually, it's the second one that's been put in front of me. Elizabeth was the first that I agreed with it. This one, as I said, there were two areas I thought you were doing better than you were rated. Okay? And so I make the comments here.
So was my, wait a minute, so I'm not sure I understand. So is your concern that I scored her too easily and was not critical enough, or is your concern that I scored her too harshly and needed to give her more points, because you're saying both?
No, my concern is neither. It's that each individual supervisor has their own metric, if you will, fit within what is laid out as the goal about whether may or may not be priorities, whether may or may not be. In letting us look at it, isn't that the point, or did you just want to sign off on it?
I wanted you to be aware of it. I mean, so there's really only two ways, I think, for us to handle the employee evaluations of our direct reports. Either the board, as it has done, delegates that responsibility to the chair, or we do it in an open meeting like this. I mean, the employee would have the right to take it to a closed session, but we could do the entire evaluation sitting right here. Now, Story County, since we've been doing this, Story County has determined that the most effective use of staff time and everybody else's time and the most reasonable way to do that is to delegate that to the chair. Then I believe it's wholly appropriate for the chair to share those results with the other two supervisors. And if there's a major concern, then we should do exactly what we're doing right now, which is to sit here and bring those major concerns. If we're talking about nitpicky stuff, then no, we don't need to do that. That you guys elect the right chair, whoever that is, and give them that responsibility. But those are the options. Jessica, am I missing something? Are there more options for doing evaluations other than that?
I would like to comment before you answer. Okay. I think this is really an area of miscommunication. When Alyssa's review was handed to me, what, on my second month? Was it February? March. Thank you. Okay. The comment was, let me know what you think.
Sure.
Okay. And I read through it, and I didn't know you. I hadn't worked with you long enough, okay? And I handed it back, and I said, I don't see anything that rises for me right now. And that was our conversation, okay? Now I'm here in two. We're talking about it's now June, and I was given a review, okay? And
same expectation. Let me know what you think.
I did, and I wrote down what I thought. I mean, I feel a little bit here like I wrote down what I thought because that's what I do. And do I go through line by line things? I really thought that you were soliciting my opinion. I genuinely thought.
And that's what we're doing here. That's exactly why we're here.
My opinion to you, not necessarily where we would end up on the review.
I do. So I don't think you and I have the ability to do that on anything without violating open meetings.
Now, you know, at this, okay, what I thought I was giving was then going to be written on by Marty, quite frankly, and one review then would have been brought to Deb here today that have given to
Boy, that sounds an awful lot like a walking quorum to me.
What if I had verbally said I have this concern, Jessica?
So since we have a dispute about this morning, then we're exactly where we need to
be.
Okay.
You guys don't have the ability to talk privately.
Right.
You know, you've been trying to view because two or three is the quorum. So you have a dispute, so we're in the public
eye. What did I do with Alyssa? Did we break it then?
No. We had not broken it.
Okay.
You didn't ask for anything. You didn't suggest. If you had suggested changes, we would have come right here.
So
right.
You looked at it and gave it back.
Okay.
Right now there's a dispute between this morning, and that's what we need to publicly discuss. You don't have the ability to privately discuss.
Okay. All right. Moving on. Item two. I put, and by the way, some of these are in the rewording of the actual job goal or description themselves, not in anything to do with the evaluation. I said in item two for next year, because you can't go back on an evaluation, add, quote, with the oversight of one or more supervisors after receiving authorization from the Board of Supervisors. So those goals, everything I just clarified, I feel that we should add that to item two's description. Okay?
So, okay, great. Didn't we just establish that you can't have oversight from one supervisor?
Yes.
I mean, isn't that what we just talked? We spent 2 hours.
Unless we vote on it, though, right?
But it has to be something specific.
Right,
specific.
Project. Correct.
So
that works. It would be specific, right?
And now she's the employee of the entity.
Yeah.
Correct.
She'll always be the employee of the entity, but if there's one specific project that you'd like one specific supervisors to oversee the vote on that.
And so then that would still be applicable here.
Okay. The next one under item two is phrased. I suggested delete political and then I gave the phrase. And I suggest we replace it with, quote, internal and external programmatic and policy changes. I felt it better addressed the rest of that description. Item three, this one is, I would like to talk about identity deleted in its entirety from DEMS responsibilities, or we need to rephrase it. Or rephrase, by the way, is not written on this piece of paper, okay? So, and this has to do with representation of DEB for the board some events. And so I just feel that either we should delete it, it's also addressed further down in a different way, or we could go ahead and we could amend it just once again with board approval, board authority, okay, or one or more of the board.
Oh. May I read that?
Yeah.
Essential function.
Mm-hmm.
Active liaison between elected officials and board of supervisors assists the board in establishing, maintaining relationships with elected officials, external agencies, and community organizations, coordinates teamwork among all elected officials in the county to assure they are functioning within their role as prescribed in the Code of Iowa.
So, and I once again feel that either should that not be our role as a board of supervisors, or could we modify it as designated by us, okay, on specific projects or tasks?
Well, it is absolutely designated by us. So right now, so Deb, you're our lead on asset. You are representing us on this discussion that's going on about the Healthy Life Center in Ames. Have you ever taken that to mean that you have the authority to suggest the board's position on anything?
Absolutely not. For the 17 years that I've been a direct report to the Board of Supervisors, I have clearly understood what my role is. And you can ask anybody. They have heard me a million times say, I need to take that back to the Board of Supervisors. That's the Board of Supervisors' decision. That's a recommendation I have to take back to the Board of Supervisors. I mean, they're tired of me hearing that, but they understand because that's my role. And I don't believe that I have ever put the board in a compromising position.
Absolutely.
Because I understand how it works.
But that's not the allegation. There is no allegation that you're going to put the board in a compromising
position. I think there are times when a board member should represent us as opposed to a staff member. That's how I looked at reading this.
Sure, but is that not happening right now? Is Deb representing us on something that the board did not direct her to represent us on?
There is, as you go through the whole job description, at some points it specifically says upon board direction or with the approval of the board. There are others on here that don't say that. So let's go ahead then and make them uniform in the statement. Now, if you want to go down, further down, I think we've got one where it says that, if you want to delete that. But otherwise, I'm reading everything literally.
Sure. Well, Alyssa, help me with this. So how are these, so when it comes time for me to evaluate somebody, I think it's Noel that prints these off. And I've always been under the impression that this comes straight from the approved job description by our, the board has approved the job description of this position, and HR creates this document for me as chair to go through and fill out. Maybe you're under the mistaken impression that I'm writing this stuff, that I'm the one who's making up what these duties and responsibilities are, and in fact, nothing could be further from the truth. I'm just taking what I get from HR and then completing the score and the supervisor comments and having a, I mean, how long does this take us together, Deb? Probably an hour and a half, a couple times, you know, just trying to have it as a productive tool for evaluating our employees, make sure they know where they stand, know what the expectations of the board are on them, but that comes straight from
the board approved job description. So am I missing where this comes from?
No, that's correct. Each evaluation template is created directly from that first portion. It's an Excel spreadsheet, and there's, you know, three or four portions depending on whether the individual supervises. That is dumped from the job description. I copy and paste it directly into those.
Right.
So we're evaluating at each essential function that employee performs.
Absolutely. So if Morris wants to make changes to some of these things, it would be a change in the job description, which is different than this conversation.
All right. Yes. In that case, then, and yes, thank you for that, because I understood that this was the job description, but instead, so we'd be moving on many of these sort of which is fine and appropriate then to have that as a separate discussion. Okay. All right. Do you want me to continue to read some of these modifications?
So I want you to do whatever you want to do, but if we're going to go through this, let's go through it in order. And I also believe strongly that we've asked Deb to be here, so Deb gets to talk about any portion of this that she wants to now.
Sure.
So I feel the same way about this that I do about the idea of whether you were going to make the motion on insubordination or not. This is your call. You're doing this, but if we're going to talk about it, let's talk about it.
I've already discussed and read the one concern, or it wasn't even a concern. It was an area for improvement. I've already noted what I wrote positively about her, and I already noted that that I would have given a higher score. If, however, I do note that my scoring in the aggregate would not affect either the total score or the rates. Okay? You do the math there, and that doesn't impact it. So, since I'm understanding most of my concern is actually with the job description, not the review, all right,
mm-hmm.
So then the motion I would make is that we accept the chair's evaluation. I think that's what everybody's looking for, all right, let's go ahead and let's accept the chair's recommendation. And then I will work with Alyssa to bring something back to the board, or do I just give her something and then she brings back? Now, I know to all of us, but I mean, if I have concerns about the job description, then it would be to go to Alyssa. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm ready.
So there's a motion. Do I have a second? And the motion is to accept the evaluation as written by the chair.
Second.
Good. Motion second. I'm going to go to you, Deb. Deb, are there any points, anything that you want to say before we vote on this?
I do have a couple of comments. There was a comment about a complaint regarding access to 566 hours. So it was my understanding that this was brought to your attention, Loris, when you did your ride-along on June 5th.
Correct.
And then it was brought to my attention for the first time a week later on June 13th at the board meeting.
Okay.
And that was the first that I learned about this, and it was discussed during the liaison assignment. And so the board said, Deb, talk to Darren about this. So I called Darren that afternoon, and we had already had a meeting set up the following day. So I talked to him about it. He indicated that he had already had conversations with you about it. And he was going to talk to the motor grader operator. And I also asked him to listen to the audio section of the board meeting so he understood what was completely being said about this. He talked to the motor grader operator, and he plans on coming at his quarterly report to talk about some options for this. But between him and the motor grader operator, they didn't see that this was an imminent danger or imminent risk. But he's got some things that he wants to talk to address to the board. And having said all of that, I think it's important to know what my approach has been with this new role, because I still consider it relatively new. In working with the department heads, I felt that it was fair to them to step into this
very gradually, very planfully, and very deliberately. Mm-hmm. I look to those department heads as the experts. I rely on them, and I think that that has been a successful approach. I assess what's going on in those departments. I feel that there's very good communication both ways, and that's been my approach.
Mm-hmm.
It was successful when I was a department head for community services. I think being a department head and coming into this position helped in my management style. It helped those other department heads understanding where I came from, that I had served in a similar capacity as they had. And so I think we're going down this in a successful manner. I'm not saying there aren't areas that I can develop more in or grow in. I mean, that's me as a person. I'm always looking for those opportunities. But I think in some of these comments, there was information that could have been added that maybe would have changed them one way or the other. And so I'm always open to communication. I respectfully ask the board that if there are any questions or comments about something that I'm following up on or I've been asked to address with the department, that I be asked at that time and that it doesn't wait until my evaluation time. I'd like to have things addressed as we go along because I think that that's just helpful and collaborative all the way around.
How did I not help me understand what I missed, what steps you think I missed. Okay. I had a ride along. It was communicated to me in more passionate terms, okay, about the deviancy of it. I mean, he was on 566 when I had a communication. Okay. So I called to let Darren know. Are you saying I should not have called Darren to have this, but instead to let you know? I'm trying to figure out how I did not.
Yeah, so I want to address that because I think it's an important point for us. You mentioned a couple times today that your experience in the private sector, in the journalism mm-hmm. field, how things were viewed differently.
Right.
Let me just ask you. In that private sector field, how do you think it would be viewed if, without telling the person's supervisor, you went straight to somebody and they found out about it a week later at a board meeting?
It would depend on what the issue was. This, to me, I brought it up to the board as a safety, a safety concern. And I made the call to the person who I thought could best give me immediate information about whether I needed to immediately go to Deb or not. Because then Darren said, oh yeah, I'm aware of that. We've talked about it before. And so I got information that told me I don't need to run to Deb right away. And I can wait until the board meeting. So.
To get to her review then.
Because once again, how I was taught to do a review is you give examples of the you can go back and give an example of somewhere where there's an improvement or somewhere where there's a communication. So that's how it got to the review. Once again, I went through and I made comments. Really, right, we're discussing them in public. But I gave feedback based upon what I felt might be noted and that she might want to work on in the future. I've never, ever
So she has to work on something, or she has to work on something that she didn't know about?
Well, look, if there had been good communication between Darren and Deb.
So you go to Darren, and it's Darren's responsibility to go. So Darren doesn't work for you. He doesn't even work directly for the board. He works for Deb Shildroff. Darren reports to Deb Shildroff. Deb Shildroth reports to the Board of Supervisors. One member of the Board of Supervisors went to Deb's direct report and then somehow assumes that it's Deb's responsibility to get that information when you circumvented her?
No.
I don't follow that.
No. Okay, let's back up. I went to the direct report to get information about I'd also been told by the two out on 566 that Darren had talked about this before. So I went to Darren and I said, hey, the guys told me that there was this situation with 566. They said they thought you knew about it. And he said, yes. Okay. So at that point, I thought I had, okay, somebody knows about it. Now, I'm not involved with your relationship with your direct report. And it was apparently a conversation that occurred a few months before, according to Darren, all right, about this ongoing situation about trying to get access to the church. So the next time that I thought it was important, pertinent, and to refer it was at the next board meeting. Now, I guess from now on, tell me what I should do, Deb.
Well, to clarify, Darren, he's the expert with secondary roads. Again, I'm going to go back to these department heads that we have are the experts.
Okay.
And am I going to know every single thing that goes on every hour of the day? No. And I don't expect to because they have to do their day-to-day operation.
Right.
Now, if he very well could have been talking to his staff about 566th Avenue, and I would expect him to, but what's written in the comment is, in addition, conversations with secondary crew staff indicate that the safety issue of putting a grader on Highway 30 to access 566th Avenue has been referred to management before, but nothing was done, continuing to create a dangerous situation. I believe something is being done. I communicated with Darren right away about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
He is very well aware of it. He is talking to his staff about it. He is going to come up with options that he's going to be talking to the board about. This is a perfect example of where I feel not all of the information was there, but yet it's on my review as a comment that I'm not following through with something. I followed through with it.
And I want to read the sentence before that because I think it's important. So you just read the last sentence of that. But the sentence right before that in what Morris wants in the job description and her critique of you is, discussions with city councils and constituents revealed that complaints directed to the BOS office within the last 2 years may not have been completely researched by Deb. So Deb's got 25 years of history with Story County, and I promise you, I've only been around for 8 of them, but I promise you, in the 25 years that Deb's been here, there has never been a time that Deb has not completely researched anything. It's one of the reasons she's in the position she's in. And so I'm having real trouble. You try to couch this as, oh, it's just harmless. It was just me making some comments. This is a harsh critique of Deb Shildroth.
Well, I didn't say it was harmless, but once again, it's for areas for improvement. All right. So that's something that you say you're already working on, and I still am not clear, quite frankly, on the secondary road situation about if we had a safety issue. And when I went and checked with Darren, and he said, "Oh yeah, we talked about that before." I got this feedback from him, and he said, "Oh, I don't know. I guess I could call the church again." Period. Okay. So I that's all I hear from him, and then I refer it out the next board meeting. So you want it referred out right away, is what you're saying?
Well, in this situation, yes, because you note on here that it continues to create a dangerous situation. For me, that elevates it to a level that we need to be looking into it.
Yes. How did you not? Okay, but Darren already knew about it. You didn't know about it.
I learned about it at the Board of Supervisors meeting on June 13th, and that was a week after your ride-along and after you talked to Darren.
So clearly it had not risen to the level for Darren where he shared it with his supervisor.
All right. Then
you circumvented and went to Darren. And let's just be clear. So, Laura, if we've learned one thing today, it is that there is major confusion on your part of what is the appropriate method of operation for the Board of Supervisors. And to be completely clear, this Board of Supervisors, the three of us collectively, can set our operations however we see fit, right? We can change anything, we can rearrange anything, but until we do, until we take action, we're going to operate based on the way we are operating, and here's where we are. There is never, ever, ever a time where it's appropriate for one of the three of us to go to somebody who reports to Deb or to Alyssa without including them, not getting their permission, not even asking them to handle it. But there's never a time that it's okay for one of us to go to Barb without letting Alyssa know what we're a concern that we're going to Barb about, or to Jerry Moore without letting Deb know that there's a concern we're going to Jerry Moore about. They're the supervisors of those people, and it is unfair for us to put them in a position where their direct reports are getting information from us that they're not hearing from them. I want to make sure we're clear on that. I mean, I need affirmation that that's the way we expect ourselves to operate, because that's the way I've tried to operate.
I would just use my last year of service as the fact that I've been very clear of using Deb as a resource as she is. I'm wearing out the carpet. There's a U-shaped pattern forming in front of my house to hers, because I have the humility to know what I don't know, but I have a earnest desire to learn what I need to know, and I find her to be a resource that I've used a lot. I mean, more of some of this, I looked at this, I didn't write mine. I have written a number of reviews on management in a school district, and I know the process. When I sit there and see that you want to do editorial rewrites on the verbiage, I think that what you see Rick writing down reflects his speech patterns. He speaks in the superlative. You have sat here in countless times through the course of your service. We come back to changing and alteration, and we've adopted some of these things. You find, as you come to know them and use them, well, you want to change them. We have a process of doing that, and we may get there. But right now, to insert the 566 issue into this, as she became aware of it, I think that you're making it a dangerous thing. Rose Soleil, she responded to it, but then again, you need to be mindful of how we conduct ourselves up here, and we have a legal obligation. And I think, as you pointed out, and self-admittedly, so that you have done things that have circumvented that.
I'm not deliberately circumvented, but I'm still trying to sort out the rules.
Well, because you have spent multiple years. In this case, are we clear now? You just heard the same thing from me and Marty. Are we clear when it comes to dealing with Sue? Or, okay.
Okay, so we are clear about this. All right. Okay. And, all right.
Okay. Deb, anything else? We've got a motion and a second. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No.
Okay, thank you.
So I just want to clarify the motion in a second. That would be adopting Rick's original
without any edits. It's what Deb and I produced as part of her evaluation. Any further discussion from the board?
No.
Olson?
Aye.
Chitty?
Aye.
Sanders, aye. We still have one more item before we get to adjournment. Deb, thank you very much. And that is, we pulled Deb's increase. It is a 2% merit increase that I have recommended to the board. I need that in the form of a motion.
Move consideration to the board for...
It's a 2% pay adjustment.
Pay increase for Deb Soldrop.
A motion and a second. Discussion. All those in Chitty,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Sanders, aye. If there's no other business, I take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thanks, everybody.